Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again? Do you ever feel you're so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine just on the night, like the 5th of July, 'cause baby you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work, make them go oh, as you shoot across the sky.
My darlings, how are all of you today? Today is March 22nd. It is Wednesday. Yesterday we had another holiday that we spent together. So we had Ostara yesterday. We've got a new moon tomorrow. It's all coming up roses. One sad note. We lost a very beautiful, beautiful spirit over the weekend. Her name was Erin. She was a dear friend of many of ours. She was one of us. So what we're going to do is we are going to dedicate this entire show to Erin and to her love of the craft and our love for her. So all of the songs that you're going to hear tonight are all songs that she loved and that were near and dear to her heart for various reasons. We're going to talk about Ostara. We are going to talk about the new moon. My cat is coming to see me now. Hi, Princess Squeaky Bear. I'm not going to lie, it's going to be kind of a challenging show to get through because, like I said, this show is for Erin. So let's start out with her very first favorite song that she once told me about, and that is Mumford & Sons' Hopeless Wanderer.
I came out of the woods by shorts. Shelter also gave their shade. And in the dark, I have no name. Sleep that click in my head. And I will remember the words that you said. With a clouded mind and a heavy heart. But I am sure we will see a new start. So when your hopes are fire, but you know you're I don't hold the glass over the flame. Don't let your heart grow cold. I will call you by name. I will set you roll. Wrestle along with my youth. You tried so hard to live in the truth. Tell me all this fine. When I lose my head, I lose my spine. but you know you're desire. Don't hold a glass over the flame, no, let your heart grow cold. I'll call you by name, I'll share your
for Aaron. Let me tell you a little bit about Aaron. Aaron and I went to high school together, actually. We didn't really hang out when we were in high school, though. We were kind of in two different groups. But we found each other on Facebook. And you want to know how we found each other? Through our love of the craft. And when we found each other, we just could not believe that both of us were witches. I mean, we were both in the same school, which it wasn't a huge school or anything. But we just found it so funny because we both thought that we were the only one, and then we found out there was more of us, and that was really great. So Aaron and I reconnected via Facebook, and then something magical happened. She would start responding to some of my posts, and then other friends of mine from different like compartments or parts of my life would also respond on some of my statuses, and then they started to become friends, like, outside of me. So Facebook is pretty cool about that. I mean, I've got so many friends on Facebook that have become friends with other people on my friends because of me, and I just thought that was really kind of fabulous. So Erin made all these really wonderful friends. She became a part of my team, my paranormal team, the International Paranormal Society, as a sensitive, and she used it. she used her skills in the craft and her sensitivities to help people, which is, you know, that's why we're here, that's why we do this. So she became just an integral part of the team, and she kind of became sort of like my partner in crime for a while, and my, not real crime, obviously, and my confidant. And we would vent to each other, you know, we would spend so much time together, and we'd talk on the phone for hours, and we you know, we were planning on starting businesses and all of these things in a radio show, which, now I'm doing the radio show, and I'm dedicating it to her. Thing is Erin was very sick. She was very sick for a very long time, and she had just had surgery, and apparently something must have went wrong because she died unexpectedly on Saturday. Well, technically Sunday. It was in the late night, like 3:30 in the morning. And it came as such a shock to all of her loved ones and her friends. I mean, she had so many people that loved her so much. She had so much to give, and everybody is just in so much pain right now. And for that, I am so sorry, because it does hurt. Anyway, so Erin was just this bright spirit, and she taught people all about the craft, and she was all about changing the perceptions and teaching the positive and the good things of what we do as witches. She was phenomenal and priceless. And she is just going to be so missed. I've been saying a lot tonight. I apologize for that. She, and I just did it again, she had so many people that cared so much about her, and she had touched so many lives. Her friend Joni, Nakomi, Steve, Warren, myself. There's so many others that she touched. But she has just been just this remarkable sparkler of a woman who went out of her way to help people and who went out of her way to make a difference in this world. And, you know, she died at 42 years old. That is so young to die unexpectedly. I know that she is healthy and happy and radiant and doing just fine and you know, probably going to join us on investigations. I would bet money she'll join us on investigations just to mess with us, because that's what she would do. She was just a jokester and a trickster as well. So, Erin was just, she was amazing. I think that we should do her next song. Her next song is actually Bell, Book, and Candle by Eddie Reader. Erin loved this song. This was a, it's actually kind of a perfect song for what we're all going through right now, because we lost a sister. But so the next song that we're going to play for her is Bell, Book, and Candle. So this is for you again, sweetheart.
Blue around the morning moon, color of your eyes. I'll remember holding you, will fall through summer skies. You're everything that I've become, every word I see. I need a bell, a book, and candle to keep your ghost away. White horses on a troubled sea, your smile will flash through time. Up ahead a blackbird's wing, your hair will come to life. Every night I see your face when I have to pray. I need a bell, a book, and candle to keep your ghost away. Keep your ghost away. Keep your ghost away. I need a bell, a book, and candle to keep your ghost away. Just before the thunder rolls, I sense you next to me. And as I move through nature, I know where you will be. So I must keep myself apart. Here's where I'll stay, with a bell, a book, and candle to keep your ghost away.
I kind of thought that was a perfect song for Erin tonight, and she had told me before that she really loved it, so it was important to me, from all of her friends, to make sure that that happened for her tonight. Radio was really huge for her. She actually went to school to be on the radio, and apparently she was very successful at that. That was before I met her and she got sick. She met some amazing people. One of the people that she met and she fell in love with was actually Tim Kelly, who was the lead guitarist for Slaughter, that band, the 80s band. And you know our Erin, she was an 80s girl through and through, but apparently they met and they fell in love and traveled all over the place. And I had this just most magical, amazing relationship. Sadly, he was killed in a car accident. So now they're together again. And I think that's really amazing and really special. And I cannot believe I just got an email that bounced off there. Sorry about that, guys. So they're together again. And my dear friend, Nakomi, who had become very close to Erin in the end, said that she had a dream about Erin, actually the night that she passed, that she was with Tim. She saw her in a white convertible or a white Cadillac, and Erin looked so happy. And then yesterday when I was at yoga, there's that last 10 minutes of meditation part, I saw Erin myself, and I kind of thought maybe it was my own imagination, and it probably could be. I'm not going to deny it could absolutely be my own emotions kicking into my imagination, but I saw Erin too. And again, she was with Tim, and she started out in this yellow sundress with flowers, which is really not Erin's style, but she was just radiant and smiling and beaming. And it was, and healthy. That was the thing, she was healthy. And then I saw her and Tim, they kind of changed clothes all of a sudden, not like on purpose, but they, or not on purpose, but, and then they were both wearing these white, beautiful, I can't even explain or describe, but it was so beautiful, but they both turned around and smiled at me and kind of did this kind of a little wave thing, and then they just walked away, and I just started crying, and it's, you know, stupid to do that at yoga. But it was so profoundly beautiful. I believe in the afterlife. Well, you know I believe in the afterlife. I believe that she found her peace, and she's back together with the love of her life. Thank God she's back together with the love of her life, because she missed him so much. I mean, he had died, you know, over a decade ago, but he remained, you know, the guy. And she dated and she did, you know, love other people, but Tim was always the one. So I feel blessed to know that she is happy and radiant and back with who she belonged with.
Moongazer.
We are getting ready to get a brand new moon tomorrow. So new moon, or dark moon, when the moon is directly between the earth and the sun, and therefore it's kind of hidden, it's a time of new beginnings and new undertakings. Usually it's for, you know, 3.5 days or so. The moon's unilluminated side is facing the earth, and the moon isn't visible except for, like, during a solar eclipse or whatever. It's a good time it's a soothing time to rest and plan for new beginnings, new growth, love, the beginning or the renewing of stuff, you know, bringing things in, regeneration, giving thanks. This is a perfect time of new beginnings and new undertakings. It can be a starting point for kicking that bad habit, or, you know, simply just even starting a brand new project. Put ideas into motion, become engaged, make long-term relationship plans. It's just the perfect time to start brand new.
The world can be a scary and unpredictable place. It's easy to feel like you have no control over the safety and well-being of your family. There are steps you can take today, now, to gain control. Visit MyFamilyIsSafe.com for complete step-by-step instructions for building survival kits for each member of your family, your home, and your cars. Detailed shopping lists make the kit building process a snap. MyFamilyIsSafe.com. Prepare. Protect. Survive. The safety of our loved ones is our greatest concern. Visit MyFamilyIsSafe.com right now. Control is available.
You know, they really do have this amazing program at My Family is Safe. It's these kit building ideas. I mean, there's emergencies, there are tornadoes, there are, you know, floods and earthquakes and God forbid terrorist attacks. Their company is literally all about protecting your family and giving you the tools to be able to do that. So highly recommend going to their website, pick up the manual. You know, it's not even that expensive. I think it's like $19 or something like that. Completely worth the money that it's going to take to protect your family. Also, side note, I've got all the spells up there for you on my website, which is empoweringthedivine.com. I've also got information on Ostara and all of our other, you know, Wiccan, pagan, holidays and upcoming things that are going on. So make sure you go to empoweringthedivine.com and shoot me an email if you want to see or hear somebody on the show, or if you want a song played or dedications, if you'd like to be on the show, absolutely, just, you know, shoot me an email. So that's empoweringthedivine.com. Let's chat a little bit about Ostara. Ostara is the spring ritual. It's just one of the names that is applied to the celebration of the spring equinox. That being said, it's also the time around Easter, Ostara Easter. It's all about new beginnings, fertility, you know, changing of the seasons. The day starts to become longer now, which is wonderful for all of us people that can't stand the darkness. It's a time for fertility, sowing seeds. You know, nature's fertility also goes a little crazy. In medieval societies in Europe, the March hare was viewed as a major fertility symbol, hence the Easter Bunny. This is a species of rabbit that's nocturnal most of the year, but in March, during mating season, that's where all the bunnies all come from. So that's where Easter bunnies and all that is about. That's all about the hare and mating season and fertility. It's a good time of year to start your seedlings. If you grow an herb garden, start getting your soil ready for late spring plantings. Celebrate the balance of the light and the dark as the sun begins to tip its scales and return. All the new growth is coming. Woo! Many modern Wiccans and pagans celebrate Ostara as a time of renewal and rebirth, so take some time to celebrate the new life that surrounds you in nature. Go for walks in the park, lay in the grass, hike through the forest, and as you do all of these things, observe all the new beginnings all around you. You know, all the plants and flowers and insects and the birds. Oh, I heard the birds chirping this morning. That was just a heavenly sound. Meditate upon the ever-moving wheel of the year and celebrate all the changes of the seasons. This is a wondrous time of the year, so go out there and enjoy it. It's brand new. Start new things. Enjoy the weather. You know, hopefully no more cold, no more bitter freezing, at least not here in Minnesota. So go out there and laugh and be joyful and listen to the birds and tiptoe through the tulips. By the way, side note, for those of you that are, you know, being combative or aggressive towards the Christians because Ostara was, you know, celebrated first before Easter was, don't do that. We can all share in the wonders of this wonderful season. We can all get along. It's a very crucial celebration for all of the Christians out there. Don't take that away from them. We can be the bigger and better people. So just be nice. We can all get along. Think of it this way, too. This is the perfect opportunity to be eating all of the Easter basket eggs. You know, the ones that you guys are dying. That's actually a pagan tradition, too. So while you're dying your eggs or doing all of your so-called Easter things that everybody else is doing, which is actually Ostara, I get it. But while you're doing all of your rituals, you're blending in, and you're not causing fights. Woohoo! And you can eat those chocolatey Cadbury egg thingies that everybody's dying about. I'm not a big chocolate person, so it's kind of lost on me. I tried one, and I wasn't a fan, but everybody else likes them. And those Peeps! You can eat the Peeps! What else? Well, there's Easter bonnets. Gotta love Easter dresses and Easter bonnets and all the beautiful little girls, all the little suits on the boys. Just take this time to enjoy and start something new. Start a new tradition. That's your homework. Ah, I'm brilliant. That is your homework for next week. I want you to email me. Go to my website, empoweringthedivine.com, and email me. You could do it on Facebook as well. But email me what your new tradition is going to be. What's your new Ostara tradition that you are going to enact, that you are going to do every year from now on? I want to know what it is. You let me know, and I will let our listeners know next week, okay? Oh, I think that's an awesome idea.
What's in the news?
I would like to welcome back Dr. Adrian Lee, who's going to do our news for us again tonight. Adrian, how are you?
Hi, Lisa. Hello, America. I'm getting a second go, am I? That's impressive.
You are impressive. We had so many people call in saying that you were wonderful and they wanted you back, so how could I say no?
One of the benefits of being able to read out aloud.
Awesome. What do you got for me?
Well, welcome to the wacky, weird, and wild world of the national and international news of the witchy, Wiccan, and paranormal. So straddle your broomstick and hang on tight with both hands as we fly to the continent of Africa to Namibia. Children's life rafts are available upon request. Windhoek Augustinian Secondary School teachers have demanded the immediate removal of their principal because she had accused staff and pupils of practicing witchcraft. They in turn accused her of financial impropriety and favouritism. They also say she calls them names and she lacks consistency, while she alleges abused hours and uses the school for church services. Close to 20 teachers out of 43 on Thursday. By the way, I have to stop there. It's not good for a school, is it, that says close to 20? So that would either be like 19 or 21, I would suggest. If they can't add up to 20, then obviously there's something going wrong with their maths department.
Yeah, issues.
Close to 20 teachers out of 43 on Thursday held a meeting with the Namibia National Teachers Union to express their grievances about Principal Beatrice Losper, who on Tuesday allegedly made bizarre remarks that teachers and learners were trying to get rid of her through witchcraft. Losper reportedly became suspicious that witchcraft was at play when she fell off a stage and when her Mercedes-Benz was involved in an accident. The dangers of driving on stage highlighted there. Be warned, never drive a Mercedes-Benz on stage. Her accusation angered fellow teachers who, together with students on Tuesday, boycotted classes for almost half a day. The boycott only ended after Dr. David Namwundi, the Deputy Minister of Education, came to address the school and ordered teachers and students to immediately return to classes. Teachers, however, seemed unhappy as they say Losper's actions have gone too far and they now demand her removal. They say her behaviour depends on her mood swings. While the school seems to be busy with infighting among teachers and pupils, it performed very badly in its grade 10 examinations last year, with only 49 out of 269 learners passing the external examination, which would suggest that if teachers are performing witchcraft, they're not practicing on their students. Well, more accusations of witchcraft now, closer to home, with a story this week from the 17th century. Never let it be said that we don't bring you the latest and most up-to-date news as it breaks.
I was going to say 17th century. Nice.
An indictment laying out the charges against one of the suspected witches in the 1692 Salem witch trials has been purchased for $26,000 by a Massachusetts collector. The winner who bid by phone beat two other bidders vying for the document, according to Swan Galleries in New York City, which facilitated the auction. Margaret Scott was accused of certain detestable arts called witchcraft and sorcery in the indictment. She was later hanged as part of the last group of executions during the fabled witch hunt. Ultimately, nine witches were accused of consorting with the devil and were hanged. These things are extremely rare. Richard Trask, the archivist for the town of Danvers, which was known as the Salem Village in 1692, said Wednesday, "In my whole professional life, which goes back to the late 1960s, I've only ever seen two documents like this that weren't in institutions come to light." The indictment won't shed any new light on the trials, Trask said, because he discovered a copy of the document about 20 years ago in a history of the nearby town of Rowley, published in 1840. "It doesn't tell us anything new that we didn't already know," he said, "but as an artifact of the period and for the rarity of it, it is an important artifact of the event." The buyer paid a total of $31,200 for the document, including the buyer's premium to the auctioneers, Swan Galleries said. So perhaps worth going to a few old antique stores and a few garage sales, because you never know what might turn up.
Nice.
Old paperwork. Now, last week I discussed a witch's house that was discovered by archaeologists in Britain from the 17th century, complete with hidden artifacts built into the wall to ward off evil, including, if you recall, one unlucky cat. This week a report has come out in Australia highlighting this practice further. Items of clothing found concealed in Australian buildings tell the story of a battle waged by early settlers with the evil spirits they feared were lying in wait in their unfamiliar surroundings. A shoe hidden in a bridge, a prisoner's uniform stashed under a staircase, toys concealed in an attic, a dead cat secreted into a roof cavity. Together they sound like the disparate ingredients of a gothic horror novel. That's because they're some of the bizarre artifacts discovered at sites across Australia, all linked to a mysterious world of folk magic. Folk in that they were hidden by ordinary people, magic because they were designed to ward off evil spirits. Talking of warding off evil spirits, are you there, Uncle Arthur?
That was a cat.
Who's more than likely looking at some point to be bricked up into a wall, I would suggest.
She doesn't knock it off.
I wouldn't mind, but she hasn't done this all night, and the moment I start talking, I know. She's not getting attention, is she?
Well, she was sleeping all night. Now she's wide awake and scrappy.
Discovering them has been a 6-year endeavour for Australian historian Ian Evans. This is all part of the ancient practice of defeating witches and evil by placing artifacts in those parts of the buildings where harmful spirits might lurk, said Evans. One of the most spectacular and unexpected locations for such a discovery was the Sydney Harbour Bridge. In the southeast pylon, just along from the Opera House, workmen digging an access tunnel came across the remains of a child's shoe. The heel and sole most likely date from the 1920s, when the bridge was being built. Evans dismisses the idea that it was dropped there accidentally. He is convinced it was concealed by a builder or stonemason to protect against evil forces. Young children did not work on the project, and the shoe was of high quality, both factors suggesting it was planted there deliberately, he says. I was wondering the specific powers of a lone child's shoe, actually. I've never seen a film where an army of evil has been stopped by a flip-flop in the hands of the hero, and I've never actually seen a superhero clutching the sandal of justice at any point.
You haven't seen my shoes, then.
Ah, we will be moving on to that shortly. The shoe is just one of the items unearthed at about 130 sites across Australia, from bridges to houses to prisons, or at least one former prison. A few blocks away from the Sydney Harbour Bridge is the imposing, vivid orange structure of the Hyde Park Barracks, built to house some 50,000 unfortunate convicts transported from the UK between 1819 and the mid-1940s. The jail was amongst the first substantial structures constructed in the city. On the second floor, under the boards of a wooden staircase, workers found a striped prisoner's shirt. Evans rejects the idea that the shirt could have been put there under the stairs by accident. Just like the Harbour Bridge shoe, he believed it was hidden for a purpose. Today the barracks are surrounded by a smoked glass skyscraper, but back then it would have been surrounded by marshland and wild animals, a clue, says Evans, as to why items would have been hidden. You have to remember this was a strange alien land for these convicts, cut off from their loved ones in England, and they were most likely terrified by the noises and other sounds around the jail, so they sought refuge in mysterious customs they'd brought with them, he said. There are four themes connecting all these hidden items: England, fear, Youth and Ignorance. England, in that the practice of concealing objects in buildings to ward off evil spirits was widespread in England from the 17th century, the immigrants were just continuing that existing custom. Fear because the immigrants were terrified of losing their children to illness, which many associated with evil spirits. Healthcare was obviously non-existent, and they trusted their own tried and tested rituals, which made comforting sense. Most of the items found have been children's shoes or clothes. The reasoning here is that the power and innocence of a young child would be strong enough to defeat the evil. And the immigrants believed in God and went to church, but most were poorly educated and drawn towards superstition as an insurance policy to help them confront the omnipresent destructive forces of evil. One of the most remarkable examples of the custom was found in an isolated country house in Tasmania. There the owner, Alan Cooper, had his curiosity aroused by the discovery of a single shoe in an attic space. "I thought initially it must have been a rat or a possum who dragged it in," says Alan. "But when we found 20 shoes, we thought it was either a possum with a shoe fetish or something else." Obviously those shoe fetish possums that you read so much about in the paper. Is this why we have a closet bursting with hundreds of shoes, by the way?
Yes, it's the possum.
It's the possum.
It has nothing to do with my own shoe fetish.
I actually believe that with the amount of shoes you have in your closet, we don't have any evil within 100 miles of this house.
I'm just keeping us safe.
In fact, I believe, you're keeping safe the whole of Minnesota, I would suggest, with your shoe collection. They need to thank you for that. As well as shoes, there were toys and hats, all from the 19th century, and even a dead cat. Such was the secret nature of the cats get a really bad press, I'm sorry. There must be cats bricked up all over the world. Such was the secret nature of the item's location. Evans suggests ritual magic can be the only explanation. "The people in this house were terrified," he said. "I haven't seen so many items in one place anywhere else." Evans points out that shoes are the only piece of clothing that retain their human shape after being taken off. Having said that, I do remember some underwear I used to wear when I was a teenager that had that quality.
Oh, God.
He says they act as a defendant, a permanent reminder to the spiritual world of the primacy of human beings. It seems the inhabitants of the house and the other locations made every effort to put the items in hard-to-get places, behind walls, up chimneys, in attic spaces, in what they might have seen as the weak spots of the building, places where a spirit could most easily gain access and lurk with menacing intentions. Evans believes many more items, possibly thousands, remain hidden in the country's old settlements. Renovation and conservation of buildings are the key to finding more, he says. Australia's old houses haven't divulged all their secrets yet. Macabre spirits may now be consigned to the world of horror fiction, but the weapons used to tackle them will continue to resurface in the real world. Do you think they actually kill the cat first, or do you think they just throw it in and then plaster really quickly? I mean, cats are notorious for never doing what you want them to do.
I know our cat. There's no way we could brick her up. She's too fast.
Perhaps we could use one of your shoes first.
My shoes are all about saving the world.
Apparently.
And remember that when we go shopping next week.
Yes, your shoe collection's all about world safety, obviously.
They should erect a statue for me.
I'm sure at some point in the future that may well happen. In a segue that is so perfect that it surely proves the existence of God, we move from Australia to Austria and one man's search for his lost cat.
Oh, boy.
Amen. Hundreds of people are flocking to a field in Neuerhofen in Austria after a mysterious, perfectly round hole appeared overnight leading down to a metallic construction 25 foot underground. Farmer Franz Kogan... You'd think they'd give a man a chance by putting a few vowels in occasionally, wouldn't they? Farmer Franz Noglinger, 47, I'm sure that means big hole in the ground in German, discovered the hole while looking for his missing cat, and after a report on local television he was flooded with curious visitors, as well as geologists, archaeologists, and even UFO experts. He said, "I was looking for our family cat when I noticed the hole. I didn't know how deep it was then, so I dropped a stone down there and heard a metallic clunk. From the time it took for the stone to reach the bottom, I realized it was very deep. I managed to get a big magnet, which I dangled down there, and it clearly fastened onto something at the bottom. So there is something large and metallic down there. It sounds as if there is a hollow space around whatever the metal object is. It sounds as if there's a room underneath." Archaeologists suggested the hole could have been made by a wooden timber from an underground burial chamber that has since rotted away. But alien watchers have also been attracted by the find and are speculating about a buried spacecraft. Geologists from the local council are expected to visit the site on Monday to carry out further tests. In the meantime, the family cat has reappeared again. It's been, sorry, are you choking there?
I was drinking tea.
She has apparently been sleeping in an airing cupboard at the family farm, and the door has been closed, shutting her in. Thus providing the airing cupboard, of course, with 24 hours without the threat of evil spirits, as if there's nothing obviously worse than possessed bed linen.
What's an airing cupboard? Is that like the loo?
You've not been reading. Is that like the loo?
I'm just kidding. No, seriously, what's an airing
cupboard? I'm sure my dad has come home drunk on several occasions and used the airing cupboard as a loo. Most houses in Britain have a closet or a cupboard. And it's normally where the heating system is for the hot water. But above the tank for the hot water, they put shelves. And it's where you put all your bed linen and all your clothing folded up. So it has a chance to air. I mean, I'm sure it goes back, you know, 50, 60 years when houses were cold and there wasn't an opportunity, perhaps, to use a tumble dryer. But they're called airing cupboards. And this is where the cat was residing there. thus giving the airing cupboard 24 hours of free... without evil. I wonder if you could hire... Well, I'm also thinking now we could rent our cat out. If people want evil removed from their house, we'll basically throw the cat through the window and come back and collect it 24 hours later.
Princess Squeaky Bear, we have a job for you.
Yay.
Yeah, kitty.
We'll be rich by the end of the year. A short goose-step march across the border from Austria sees us enter Germany, where funerals will start to look different for some bikers. A German motorcyclist aims to help fellow enthusiasts arrive at their final resting place in style, in a sidecar hearse fitted to a Harley. Jörg Grossman says he developed the hearse for die-hard bikers who wanted to ride right to the end. His prototype recently attended its first funeral, fitted to a Kawasaki on a trial basis. He says 10 Harley hearses, each consisting or costing about 60,000 euros, which is $80,000, will be ready by this year, or the end of this year. Mr. Grossman, 48, from near Frankfurt, estimates he could attract about 1,000 bookings each year in Germany alone. He said he has already got plans to expand his services into Switzerland and elsewhere. That's where it starts, of course, then it reaches the Czech Republic, then Austria, then Poland, then the Russian Front, and we end up in North Africa. Of course, riding a motorbike is so dangerous that turning one into a hearse is just a matter of saving time, really, I guess.
God. You know, I actually really like that idea. I think that's really nice.
One of the things I would need to research further is the fact that I don't think you can just put a dead body on a motorbike next to you in the same way that you can't just put someone dead in the car next to you.
Right.
I mean, there must be some sort of dispensation that a hearse has permission to carry a dead body, doesn't it? You can't just put a dead body in the car next to you. That's how some of these terrible films start that you see on the television.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, that would be one example, but I mean, those films are numerous in their genre.
Well, I mean, that's great for, like, the lanes where you can only have a couple of people in the car. That's my way of getting out of a ticket.
I like when it is...
Sorry.
I think, when the photographs come back and the person next to you is green, there might be an issue.
The rigor mortis coming in.
I like the idea that if you have a hearse strapped next to you on the side of a motorbike, you could race up to the graveside, slam on the brakes, and watch the coffin go straight into the grave without any messing around, really. I have to say that my dad told me a story in my youth that he had to work in different places around London, and he would drive from place to place. And he ended up being at the Imperial College in London, where all the doctors train, and they have a medical facility. And he was asked to take a skeleton, a real skeleton, not a plastic one, but a skeleton to the next job he was going to, because they had to give them the skeleton over in that building.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually put it in the car next to him with a seatbelt on and drove through London with a skeleton next to him.
I could totally
and no one said a word, rather bizarrely. They probably thought it was Kate Moss. Okay. Well, at least in Germany you're legally allowed to die, because this week the mayor of a small town in Italy in the south has surprised residents with an order that seems impossible to obey. Don't die, as the local cemetery is short of space. The 4,000 residents of Falciano del Masico, a town some 50 kilometres north of Naples, has been challenged with a recent order by Mayor Guido Cesar Fava The document reads that it is forbidden for residents to go beyond the boundaries of earthly life and to go into the afterlife. There are no more niches available and the citizens protested. Their cemetery is completely full up, so I issued a challenge in which I said, citizens, while we await the constructions of a new cemetery, I order you not to die, so we don't have any problems, he told the Associated Press. Most of those living in the town find it absurd not having a cemetery of their own. Burying their family members away from the place their relatives live is wrong. But of course, they could hardly take the town's head order seriously. There have already been two residents to break father's order by their deaths after March the 5th, according to the Italian daily La Stampa. So they're probably being sentenced later this week, because if Italian courts and the judiciary is anything to go by, I suspect they're going to have a trial. I also suspect they're going to have to be dragged to their prison cells.
Mm-hmm.
How does one... I mean, I love the concept that you're dead, and then the police come along, question you, charge you, take you off to prison. And then I was considering the concept that if you were actually in prison and you were sharing a cell, would that be an unreasonable thing? Because they'd be fairly quiet. They're not going to cause any fuss. I mean, there might be a strange smell emanating after a while. And Italy is obviously very hot in the south, but generally speaking... I mean, in terms of sharing a prison cell, you know, it could be worse, couldn't it, is what I'm saying.
Sure, it could be worse.
Exactly, especially if there's lots of Italian prisoners wandering around in comfortable shoes and frilly shirts. In a perfect link, we move seamlessly from the dead Italians to vasectomies and pizza. With the headline, Urology Practice Offers Free Pizza.
Seamlessly?
I thought I got away with that. Well, I'll tell you what. That's that seamlessly. If I'm having a vasectomy, I would like it seamless, I would suggest.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, go on then. We've got the chance while we're on air that you're going to give me a segue between not being allowed to die in Italy and vasectomy and pizzas.
We had pizza the other day.
Yes, we did. I've also been to Italy.
And when I ate it, I felt like dying. I did not feel good.
I prefer mine.
Okay, we'll go with
excellent, okay. In a perfect link, we move seamlessly from dead Italians to vasectomies and pizzas, if it hadn't been highlighted previously and pointed out. I'm sure I'd have got away with that. Anything in this accent can be got away with. Urology Practice Offers Free Pizza with Vasectomy, reads the headlines. That's the idea behind a promotion by a Massachusetts urologist group that's offering a free pizza to vasectomy patients during March Madness, it says.
I forgot.
An administrator with Urology Associates of Cape Cod says it's a light-hearted way to raise awareness about the procedure and drum up business. Dr. Girat Adiotis, a urology expert at the practice, calls a vasectomy an easy and stressful form of birth control. I suspect the pizza that's ordered for you is obviously not pepperoni or a meat feast.
Sausage.
Imagine coming round from a vasectomy and being presented with a meat feast pizza. Sausage. You've really got to love pizza, haven't you? Perhaps you could have a testicle removed and get a free side of garlic bread.
There you go.
My work here is done.
Adrian, thank you very much. Oh, you know what? There is events coming up at Heaven and Earth Essentials, and you've got some things going on. You want to... tell our listeners.
There are
that.
Indeed. That's very kind of you to let me expand on those. Heaven and Earth Essentials is a fabulous building in Sault Ste. In the middle of Minnesota. It was built in 1871 and is a very, very haunted block. And what we do on a monthly basis is we run a paranormal event. So together with our team, the International Paranormal Society, we bring our equipment along. We invite guests and members of the public to join us. And we have a ghost hunt in the basement. And I don't think it would be a hyperbole for me to say that a number of people that have come with us before on these ghost hunts or investigations have actually seen ghosts mm-hmm. and had life-changing experiences in effect. So if people are interested in joining us, there are limited spaces available. If they go to heavenandearthessentials.com, they're welcome to see the events page. We have a paranormal investigation this Saturday at 8 o'clock. So they're welcome to join us. We're keeping the numbers limited. If you're interested in joining us the following week, I believe that's the 31st, we actually have a seance. So I actually do a gallery reading. We have a room that looks exactly like a Victorian seance room. It looks like a parlour from the 1860s, and we dress up in Victorian clothing. And again, very limited numbers because we want to keep the numbers small, but I'll be accessing your dead relatives and your dead friends in the comfort of a Victorian parlour. So again, if people are interested in that, you'll need to book up. But those are two of the fabulous things we're doing over the next couple of weekends. So it'd be great to see people there.
Awesome. Adrian, thank you so much for joining us again. This was a blast.
It's a pleasure as always, and we shall wait to see if I get back invited for a third time.
You know what? If I keep getting phone calls and emails and now all these people saying we love Adrian and swooning over your accent, how can I not have you back?
Well, we shall see. I'll be happy to come back if I'm invited.
Okay.
Happy days.
All right. Thanks, Adrian.
Pictures of you, oldest thing on the moon. Have the smile, looking light at the world. Now it rains, it seems the sun never shines.
Wait!
That was Slaughter's Fly Back to the Angels. I would like to thank all of you for joining me on this journey tonight. It's been really wonderful. Don't forget to go to empoweringthedivine.com. I've got spells up there waiting for you. Shoot me an email if you have song requests or you'd like to be on the show or you've got ideas for the show. You know, always looking for new and fun ideas. Remember, always take back the light. This last song is for you, Aaron. Goodbye, my friend. I will see you soon.
We never know where life will take us. I know it's just a ride on the wheel. And we never know when death will shake us. And we wonder how it will feel. So goodbye, my friend. I know I'll never see you again. But the time together through all the years will take away these tears. It's okay now. I'm okay now.